Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it to the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. I am here with the beautiful Chanel, who I randomly keep running across on the internet and bouncing into. And I was like, I have to talk to this person and learn more about her. And if you can see it, if you're not listening, you're watching artwork. Look at it. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Behind.
Do it.
Okay. So Chanel, tell me a little bit about you. You're kind of, let's call it multifaceted, but it all comes back to one thing in your business where you're an artist, you also hold retreats. Tell me a little bit about all of that.
Yeah. So I think taking it back into the beginning is I grew up as a very curious child. I was an entrepreneur I remember making my first $100 as a kid. I would make everyone bring their Christmas presents to my house and pay me to wrap them. And I always had it in me that I wanted to work for myself. But I think as we grow up, oftentimes we shut our light off along the way. And it takes time to bring back that light. It hasn't been, I think the past 2 years have really been me embracing the light and going back to the things that I loved as a child. And finding all of the joy in that, but also finding ways to monetize it in the real world of being an adult. And for many years, I worked jobs for other people. I was told, I think like most artists, that we can't make a living from art, that if I wanted to be an artist, I had to go to school and study to have two teachables so that I could then teach in a school and then do my art on the side. And that was how artists made a living. For years, I also drug prints around to farmers markets in Nova Scotia because I was told that that was how artists make money in Nova Scotia. And it did not work for me at all, I'll be honest. I tried selling $20 prints. And I think up until 2.5 years ago, the most expensive piece of artwork that I ever had sold was like $150 for an original. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of leaps, which I'll speak about. We can talk about leaps of faith, trust, finding myself again in order to really discover myself and what my artwork does for the world and the other things that I can bring to the table through my work.
I think it's so cool that you said when you were a kid, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, because I say that too. And I feel like I am the only one saying,
oh, really?
I just don't run into other people who are, I want to be an entrepreneur. It's, I have to be an entrepreneur to sell my art. Mm-hmm. So do you think the fact that that is something that you wanted has made you be able to take these leaps and bounds and really lean into, from what I can tell, you're doing pretty well with your art. You're selling at high prices. People are buying it. Like, do those two things, did that skill set help you, or that desire? Do you think that?
I think it was the drive and the curiosity that I've carried through me since a child. You have to be willing to show up over and over again. You hear no so many times as an artist, and you're either all in or it's probably not going to work. You have to be willing to show up and keep going. And I think that resiliency is something that I built as a child in just trying so many different things through my curiosity. But for a long time, I worked jobs for other people, and I was fired from almost every single job I ever worked. It never worked out. I'm not really a big rule breaker, but It just never seemed to work. And there were jobs that it was very painful to be fired from. And it was upsetting, but it was like the universe was leading me to, no, you've got to figure this out first. This is what your path is, and you have to get back into that light that you had as a child. I carried everyone's beliefs around for so long about what it meant to be an artist and how it was supposed to look and all of the things.
So how do you think, if you could say one thing, was the biggest difference for you to be able to let go of those other people's beliefs and stories and really say, you know what, I don't care what they're saying. I'm all in and I'm going to do this. If someone else wanted to do that, what would you say to them?
Be willing to take big leaps. I think oftentimes we expect or want different outcomes from the same actions that we're taking. But in order to have different outcomes, different results, we have to be willing to take radically different action. And that, I think, began the turning point of all of this for me was I experienced a really deep loss, but at the same time, there was this, it was like an ad that popped up on Facebook. It was a mentor. I was like, it was more money than I had ever made. I think the program was $24,000 over the course of a year. I think in my lifetime, I had maybe made like $15,000 in a year. And I was like, I don't know why I'm drawn to this so much, what is coming up for me. And, you know, my partner at the time was like, well, you could wait until next year, sign up, save the money. And I think one of the things that helped me take the leap to invest in myself was it was scarier for me to stay in the place that I was than to fail trying. So I jumped in. I had no idea how. I honestly used the money that was in my bank account for bills for my first payment. And month after month, the money showed up for me and I was able to pay for the program. But then also I made $100,000 in my first year of like really committing to this. But before, I had always kind of been in and out. You know, I was going to farmers markets. I was doing this. I was never fully in. I was never invested in it either. So invest in yourself. Be willing to take huge, scary, and unconventional leaps. There are many people in your life who are going to be like, no, no, don't you dare do that. But my advice would be to look at them and ask if they have the results that you are wanting before you take advice from them.
Mm-hmm.
So that really started the big turning point of everything for me.
I see a lot of artists who, and I'm projecting my own story, past stories onto them, but who are doing things like, I'm taking prints to farmers markets and I'm working really hard and I'm trying to make money with my art, but they're not all in.
Mm-hmm.
They think they are, but they're not. How did you know you were all in? Was it because you invested so heavily in yourself or like?
Yeah, I think I have nothing against farmers markets. It works great for some people. That's amazing. If it works for you, that's perfect. But it wasn't working for me. And I had to be willing to sit with myself and be honest that what I was doing was not working. And when we actually look at that and see, do I have the results that I'm wanting or desiring? And if the answer is no, there's a good chance we have to change what we're doing. If you see progression and you're growing, then of course, don't change things. Focus on the things that you're doing great and make them, bring them to the table even more. But when it's really not working, it's time to get honest with yourself. But I think I was all in because I invested so heavily in myself. I'm the kind of person that's like, if I invest this in myself, you bet your ass I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to take scary ass action. And I'm going to, I think a 1% rule is what I've really carried through in my work is we don't have to change 100% in one day. But if we're willing to show up and commit to 1% each day, that adds up to 365% at the end of the year.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. So when we're willing to commit to that, it can make big change in our lives very quickly.
I'm glad you said the thing about farmers markets can work because of course they can. But I was more speaking to, I'm trying, but I'm also staying in my safe zone and I'm not pushing myself to do things that might be bigger and a little scarier, and those 1% changes over time. So thank you for clarifying that. Can I ask if it's okay with you? Mm-hmm. By showing up, by making these big changes over time, you went from 15,000 as your most to 100,000. What did you do? How do I phrase this question? What is something you did that allowed you to increase your income significantly?
Mm. Well, I showed up fully in the program that I had committed to, but also I had detached myself from the value of my artwork. I think oftentimes as artists, we believe that pricing our work is also pricing ourselves. So what we're pricing what we value ourselves at, instead of what the work actually does for people and then what the work is worth. And I used to think of myself poorly and not fully believe in myself and my work. Therefore, my work was priced at $30 or $165 because I tied it to my worth. But when I was able to separate artwork and myself, then I was able to do the work on myself and also objectively look at my artwork and see what it actually brought to the world, and then price it from there. And how what that did for people, then I priced it that way. And then gradually over time, my prices went from $400 or $165 to $400, which felt massive for me, and then $1,200, and now they're $15,000. And I just kind of, over time, taking the leaps to put my... and also develop my audience. So get to know my audience and also put my artwork in the right spaces for the people who appreciate the work and value it that much as well.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that I took away from what you just said was that I separated myself from my artwork. And that's so hard to do because the artwork is like from those deep down depths. So it is you and it isn't you. I think of it like you have a baby. That baby came from you. It's got your DNA, but it's its own person.
Yeah.
Like you can't control it anymore. It will do what it will do. He, she, whatever. I love that. Okay. I'm sure that people are going to be curious. You keep referencing this program. So let's just go ahead and call it out. Tell what is it?
So
we don't have to like sales pitch it, but like tell me what it is so people can go look it up if they're curious.
Yeah. So I worked with Jessica Saran. She's a beautiful artist. She now lives in Prague. She's a Canadian, but she moved to Prague. She developed this program. I've now also worked for her in assisting her with her program. She has free events that she puts on. So I've assisted her in supporting the people who move through her free events. They're a big week-long thing. They're really beautiful. So I came through, I did her free event. And at the end, she offered her program, of course, and I did it. So I participated with her 2 years in a row. I came back as alumni the second year. And then this year, I chose to step back just because I wanted to expand with people. I think one of the things I've learned this year is being the most courageous person in the room can be one of the most damaging things. And I really wanted to also move into rooms where there are people doing even greater things that I wanted to emulate. So I highly, highly recommend go check out her work if you're new to the art world, if you're wanting to expand your sales and develop your work. Even before I worked with Jessica, I was working on, like, I was selling little prints of tourist locations in Nova Scotia. If you scroll to the bottom of my Instagram, they're still there. And then eventually, through working through her process called Keep Your Ass in the Studio, I then developed work like this. And I always wanted to work on canvas, but...
What a good name.
Yeah, it's really great. I love her to death. I would highly recommend her to anyone. And then this year, I kind of reached the point where I was in that comfortable space again that you talk about. And I was getting the same results. So my second year, I did a little over, I think I did around 110 1,000 in sales. And I was like, you know, I'm really wanting that quantum leap that I had at the beginning. Why am I not receiving that? And I really had to sit with myself. And it came down to, oh, I'm actually really comfortable in my situation. Everything is very comfy. I know what to predict. I know what's going on. So I stretched myself. I made a $50,000 investment into working with a group of people who are making $500,000 to $1 million a year, not necessarily through artwork, but through business, because I wanted to learn how they operate, how they show up. And I think when we put ourselves in the room, when we're willing to show up and put ourselves in those rooms, we don't necessarily have to copy those people, but our nervous system then calibrates to what they are moving through. And we then begin to bring in that same energy. And just in, like, I've already made what I made last year in the first 3 months of my business this year. And I think it was just because I'm willing to show up that way.
There's a saying, I'm sure you've heard it, but it's, you are the sum of the five people that you are around the most. You didn't even invest in a program to sell more art, which I think is really cool because, one, we can take inspiration from other businesses and figure out how to innovate and do things differently in those spaces. But you invested based on who was going to be there and who was going to grow you mentally and push you. And I'm all for that.
Thank you.
I like you.
Thank you.
Hey there, lovely listeners of Intuitive Art Sales. It's Jessica Craddock, your guide to navigating the exciting world of marketing from an authentic place. I have a special request for you. I have shared tips and insights and stories on how to connect with your intuition, boost your confidence, nurture your community, and maintain those all-important boundaries to create a fulfilling work-life balance. And the amount of support you have shown me is incredible. And your feedback is invaluable. So here's the ask. Would you please take just a few moments to leave a rating and a review for Intuitive Art Sales? You can share your thoughts, your breakthroughs, or simply why you love tuning in. It is this little small action that can have a big impact on artists worldwide, just like you. And I also want to say thank you for being a part of this family and for helping me find others who need help on their creative path. Your unique voice matters, and together we're making the world a more inspired and vibrant place. So with so much gratitude, thank you for rating and reviewing us on your favorite podcast platform. It means the world to me. Normally what happens on these is we talk about, well, how can I help you with your art? And this has not gone that way. And I'm totally good with that because I'm enjoying this very much. But you had mentioned before we started that you have learned how to have a team of people around you to support you in your personal life. But you're having a hard time bringing that into your business. And you're also in a place where you're growing leaps and bounds, and you're probably going to hit some major ceilings if you don't find the way to bring some of those people in. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, I think it was very easy to notice the spaces that I needed help in my personal life because I'm very clear on the things that I don't necessarily like to do in my personal life. And the first thing, of course, was we'll have someone come clean the home. And then the second thing was, is we're getting so busy that we're forgetting to eat and we're not taking care of ourselves properly. So then it was, okay, we'll bring someone in to cook our food and help support us that way. And now in my business, it's kind of like, can I get everything I need to get done in a day? I'm very good about burnout. I don't struggle with burnout because of the amount of self-care space that I give myself. I'm someone with a very open calendar because I operate very intuitively. And I do have structure for the days that I'm in the studio. I show up, have to get shit done. Of course, I have deadlines and all of that stuff. Especially now, I've been really leaning into the interior designer side. I've been working with designers all over the world on massive projects. And I'm kind of at the capacity where it would be really great to have a studio assistant. to Canvas and do all the things that just my zone of genius, my energy doesn't need to be put there. But then there's also this amount of vulnerability that comes in with having someone to answer emails. And I, like I said, I sell artwork and I sell experiences, and there's this amount, there's this energy that is really important in my business and the way that I speak to people, the way that just the energy that I work really, really hard on to carry. So when I bring someone into my team, I really want to make sure that the energy is one of the most important things for me. And I want to make sure that it is, they have the same beliefs and values as well. So I always have had this relationship with bringing people into the business, and on that very personal side, even bringing in an accountant was huge for me. I have, because I really needed help with it. It just,
you have to at that point.
Yeah, I needed help. The first year I didn't, and then someone looked at it and they were like, "You, what is this?" And yeah, so there was a lot of growing there. It is still something I work on. There are parts of my life where I'm very organized and on the ball, and then there are other parts that just, like, they get very left behind and they're messy, and finances, being organized in finances is one of those things for me. But I think just the amount of vulnerability that's required to bring someone in and trust them at that level is something that I've been working on.
I did this exercise a couple of weeks ago where I listed out every single thing I do in my business. Mm-hmm. And I put them into categories because I like categories. You don't have to do that. But then I was thinking about that, the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the things that you do only produce that 20% of the growth and the results. And I was like, okay, so if I'm going to take that rule really literally, I'm going to list out every single thing I do. And I think it ended up being 56 things, which honestly is, feels like it wasn't that many, because I already have two people on my team helping me do all these things. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I've got it down to 56. I'm doing great. But if I take 20% of that, what is that? I don't know, seven or eight things. If I had to cross off everything but seven or eight things on this list, how would I do that? Mm. And it was either really streamline everything and let go of the majority of the things I am doing, or pass things off to either a team or start thinking about a third person. Mm-hmm. So this is not exactly solving your problem, but it helps you see that, yes, it is vulnerable, and yes, it is scary, and yes, you do want to find the person who's going to match your energy, and I can't be doing all of this if I'm going to be investing $50,000 in myself to make these leaps and bounds, but I still have all of this on my plate.
Yeah.
So you mentioned emails, you mentioned stretching, priming canvases. Those are some really basic things. Mm-hmm. Email is a little bit more vulnerable there. I get that. I just put someone on my inbox not too long ago, and it's still kind of scary, but we're working through it. And she's real good about checking in and saying, am I going to do this right? Mm-hmm. But maybe something like stretching canvas isn't so vulnerable if you knew that they knew how to do it, mm-hmm. or that they had perfectionist tendencies and they would always make sure it was just so. Essentially, I guess what I'm saying is I think it would be a really great exercise for you to do that, mm-hmm. make that list, and then say, what are my lightest things that I do? And what kind of skill sets would people need in order to be able to take two or three things off of this list for me?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we're really quick to, or that I am really quick to say is, oh, I don't have the time to train them or show them what it is I want. But when it comes down to it, and I'm actually, if I'm willing to sit with it, what it comes down to is this piece of perfectionism that is at the core of me that I've been working through since a child. And I think one of the things, I used to draw with a ruler. Like things were very, very straight and neat and tidy. And they had to be perfect. And that was something that I developed from my father. And growing up was passed down through trauma. But the way I now draw blind contour without looking at the paper is and always has been my way to give up control and the need for perfectionism. There is absolutely no way anything can be perfect when you draw without looking at the paper. Sometimes there's an extra toe. And I have grown. It's always something that I really loved, those qualities of surrender, but I haven't been able to pull them through in my own work or my own body. And then this drawing came to me. It found me through the most horrendous drawing class I've ever taken. And I hated it at the time. And then I slowly watched it trickle into my work. And now this is the way that I surrender to everything in my life. And I think that's at the core of being hesitant to bring in a team. And also the fear of letting other people down, then it's, you know, I really have to show up and put it all in. I'm then required to pay these people. And there's this kind of extra fear of letting somebody down, even though I know, like, we're on track to make $400,000 this year. And it's like, there's always this little piece of us that's like, am I going to fail? Am I going to be able to pay this person? And these deeper fears come up, of course, from all of our past programming. But it's really,
sure.
Yeah, I think that those are really the things underneath. Can I build out this team?
I said this recently. I don't remember if it was on a podcast, so I hope I'm not repeating myself. But one of my favorite things about fear is that the thing that you are afraid of, that you are avoiding, of letting people down, if you bring someone on and they don't have the same energy, they don't perform it as well as you do, they don't have these perfectionism pieces where they care as much as you do. If you don't find that person and you continue scaling to $400,000 this year, it's almost inevitable that you are going to let people down because you cannot do all of it.
Yeah.
So the thing you're afraid of, you're avoiding, but will become inevitable because you avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool and terrible all at the same time.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think we have to use fear as the green light to go towards the things that scare us. That's what's on the other side of fear is confidence combated over time. It's the green light that I use in many parts of my life. And I think just stepping into that fear, there will probably be even more growth when I reach the other side of it. So just kind of leaning into it, but sooner rather than later.
So your version of letting go of perfectionism in your artwork is blind contour. Mm-hmm. What is your version of that letting go of perfectionism in life? Like, is there a process such as drawing blind contour that you can, or can you pull inspiration from that to be able to find the willingness to go forward on that fear?
In the fear of building a team, or you just mean fears in general?
Building a team. I mean, you could apply it to anything, but we're particularly talking about team right now.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I commonly use for surrender in my life is when I bump up, when something, I used to be someone who was very stuck in victim mentality, who always thought the world was happening to me and things weren't fair. And I was in this very low vibrational energy where, of course, when we sit in that energy, then even more things happen to us because we're on that frequency. And one of the things that I now use is when something happens is I kind of use a pattern interrupt where sometimes for people it's physical. So we'll do like push-ups, or you think of bananas. So something happens, it triggers us. It feels like, what the fuck is happening? And then we take a moment, we interrupt the pattern so that we can take a second to really objectively look at it and see how is the world happening for me instead of to me? What is the, what could the deeper meaning of this be? Or what else could this mean? And I think applying that to team, one of the things that will, you know, it's probably inevitable. It'll take some time to find the person, just like it takes some time to find the right therapist or the right dentist, but it's most likely through moving through every single one of those people, or, you know, maybe it could be the perfect person or it's the batch, however that looks. But if there's a chance that it takes a while, I will most likely learn something from each one of those individuals, and that they're most likely brought to me to teach me something in myself or to prepare for the person who is going to be the perfect fit.
I really like looking at life that way. It's really hard to do it in the moment, but looking back, it's way easier to see, like, this led to this, led to this, and everything lined up to get me here.
I think that's where the trust comes in.
And you can always do that.
Yeah, I think that's where the trust comes in and the pattern interrupts, and that we can detach ourselves from the emotion that's tied to it and look at it more objectively than from an emotional stance.
I feel like I need to switch gears real quick here, because you are saying all these beautiful things about pattern interrupts and energy. And we have not touched on the fact that you also run retreats. And you had mentioned wanting to say something about that, because your words were, I want to show artists that you don't have to do that niching down, that you can have these different parts and pieces that make up a complete business. Mm-hmm. And I also, when you said that, thought, how interesting, because I see it the opposite way. I see it as all those parts and pieces create this amazing niche that is only you, mm-hmm. and no one else has that.
Yep.
So we're saying the same thing, but different ways. But you have different parts to your business. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. So it wasn't always like that. I first started with artwork. And when you pour so vulnerably into your work, chances are people are going to do it back. And when I started sharing all of my experiences, my trauma, my pain, people would look at my artwork, and without even me sharing what the artwork was about, something helped them feel safe enough, whether it was my energy or the artwork or whatever it was in the room, helped them feel safe enough to share things that they may have never had the space to share. And sometimes people would tell me, you know, my son just died and this painting reminds me of him, or I experienced this very traumatic thing in my childhood, and they would give me all of this stuff. And at the time, I was not prepared to hold it. It was like, I think sometimes in life, we're taught to just deflect because we don't know how to properly and deeply connect with someone. So when someone says, oh, I really hate my job, we're like, yeah, well, a lot of people hate their jobs, or I hate my job too, and just kind of normalize this
thing. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. And I didn't know how to properly hold all this stuff for people. So I made it my mission to learn. And I became a counselor, an energy, mind, and emotions practitioner, and went through this very lengthy certification process that led me down a road that I had no idea what was coming. At the time, I just did it so that I could learn how to ask better questions. But then it evolved into me learning how to support people one-on-one, me hosting retreats and experiences and bringing the healing from my artwork off of the canvas and in person. And they just kind of developed this beautiful, some people would call it a brand, I don't know, but this beautiful world for people to come into and kind of bounce around. And I was able to combine artwork with experiences. So people would come to me and be led through a healing experience, but then I would draw them line contour at the same time. And it just evolved into this great thing, because I think often as artists, we're taught we have to make artwork and put it on the wall or put it in the gallery. And there's oftentimes this piece of us that we want to bring more. There's more of us in there. We're multifaceted people. We're creative people. And maybe you want to make pottery and paint. And it's like, oh, you have to have two separate Instagrams. You have to two separate businesses. So for me, it was learning about how do I bring all this together? And like you said, it's becoming your own niche, this very specific thing that nobody else has through being the most authentic version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a program? You need a program.
I don't. I have retreats. Maybe one.
Retreats are great. Can I come? Yeah. When is the next one?
The next one is May 30th. So I do them right now once a year. And then I host a few VIP retreats, which are very close to work one-on-one with people, like 4 to 6 people, and then larger ones, which are 10 to 17. But I'd love one day to have my own program, perhaps. Once I bring on a team to...
Yes, perhaps. Definitely, once you bring on a team, I'll sign up. I feel like we should wrap up, even though we just kind of bounced around and I'm not even sure what poor Julia is going to call this podcast title. So good luck, Julie. But yeah, she'll figure it out because she is my team and I'm going to trust her to do that. Also, Chanel, I am reading a book called Who Not How, and I think you should read it too.
Okay, beautiful.
I'm just at the very beginning, but it's very interesting. And one thing that really stood out to me that I will share with you, and then we can move on. The introduction to the book was about how Michael Jordan, who is perhaps the greatest basketball player of all time, could not perform on his own. He had to bring in teams and multiple people to support him in different areas to be known as that person. He might have been that good anyway, but nobody would have known about it because he didn't have the support he needed to get out.
Yeah, I think that that's incredibly important and so true. What it brings up for me is that we can get really caught up and what we've experienced in the past, and we can get stuck there. And there was a point where I used to be really angry about the trauma I experienced, and I thought it wasn't fair. And over the past year, I've become really thankful. And for people who are experiencing trauma right now or something really difficult, that can be really hard for them to hear. But it is possible to get to that point where we can be grateful for the things that have happened to us. And I don't think that without all of those experiences that I would be able to show up and do the work that I'm doing. I wouldn't be able to serve the people. And I think what we moved through and what he probably moved through in calling in all of those are people who have supported me, even though that's not the right word, in being here today. And we can evolve our past experiences into this really beautiful thing like he has. And, you know, there's a team out there of people, no matter what it looks like, a partner, a friend, a community, collaboration that will help you move forward.
Agreed. And also, he was nearly perfect and still couldn't do it.
I think that's important for us to remember. Especially as someone who is contemplating family in the near future, bringing children into this world, and especially as women, we're just taught that we have to show up and do it all. And to know that there are people in this world who are incredible and still need support is really important.
Yeah, that really like arrow to the heart to me.
Yeah,
that's not a... That is not proper English, but I was like, all right. So, Chanel, where do people find you, find your work? Where do you want them to go?
Yeah, I think Instagram is probably the most useful space for me. If you visit my website and you sign up for my email list, you'll receive a free snail mail print wherever you are in the world.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're the only prints I make now. I don't make any other prints in my artwork, so you'll have... a very special print.
Also, a team could do that.
But it's something that I haven't wanted to do. I haven't wanted to expand into the print world for a few reasons, but that might be another conversation.
I don't think that that's a problem. I mean, maybe it changes at some point.
Maybe it does,
but
yeah.
You don't have to make print.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times my artwork is meant for a specific person, and I really want to keep the integrity of my work as well. And prints work great for some people, but at this point in my journey, I'm I don't offer them, and they felt more heavy than light. And I make a lot of my decisions in life. But if you sign
up, I like that.
If you sign up for my email list, you'll get one of the only prints. And I think my website has a lot of information that you'll be able to find.
I'm going to write that down on one of my sticky notes. Oh, also, you said this earlier. Look.
Oh, I can't read it.
The only thing worse, it's fuzzy. It's the only thing worse than change is not changing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's my other sticky note on my desk right now. All right. Well, this is lovely. Thank you so much for taking the time on a Friday, nonetheless.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity and just to have a chat with you and to show some artists that they can have what is available to them and their dreams. So keep going. And yeah, thank you very much for today.
Beautiful. Also, I'm going to go get one print.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. Talk to you soon, Chanel.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't yet, be sure to hit subscribe so that you can get new episodes loaded straight onto your phone as soon as they're ready. And as an added bonus, when you subscribe, it helps other artists find this advice so we can learn how to make our art more valuable as a community. What could be better than that? And be sure to say hello and let me know you've been listening over on Instagram. My handle is @artistmarketcup. I would love to hear from you.